Turn to someone next to you and say, I like that smile on your face. You're looking good tonight. Just tell someone next to you they're wearing a nice shirt or top or something as well, okay? Like. For those of you who don't know and you haven't been with us for long, Shofar International has gone through a few leadership changes, and Pastor Heinrich is now officially the international apostolic leader and the national leader as well. So we're going to send you out an email, and for those who have been with us for a long time, you will maybe know Pastor Fred and Lucille, the previous leaders. So we'll send you information on that. If you need to talk about it, please come speak to us. A lot of you probably don't even know because you're new or you haven't been with us for long, so then it might not affect you. But we're excited. God is into change, and I'm really excited for the new season. Heinrich's personally a friend of mine. Him and his wife are really great friends of myself and Esther, so it's wonderful to know him and to walk with him and to see how God is raising him up, giving him a lot more influence. In fact, he was instrumental in the fact that I came to Bloemfontein because I was in Pretoria supporting him, and I thought, I found my calling. I'm supporting him, the office manager, preaching every now and again, but the supportive ministry is cool. I'll just, you know, work behind the scenes and help him, and thought, hey, I found my calling, until the Lord called us to Bloemfontein, and Andre said, I think you need to pray about it again, because I was like, no, you know, I'm happy where I am, and Andre just said, no, I think let's pray about it, because I believe you've been called to lead. I believe God is, you know, wanting you to move, but it's your choice. And so I went back and I prayed and really felt like, yes, we need to go to Bloemfontein. So thank you, Jesus, for people like Heinrich in my life, and he still speaks into my life, and it's wonderful to have a leader like him. So I'm excited for the new season, and trust that you are too. Who's excited to be part of this amazing family? Amen. It's wonderful. So if you're joining us, if you're new this year or this term so far, I want you to really consider and pray to God and say, Lord, if you want me to plant here and to be planted here, then I wanna go for it. I wanna be part of, like Gerard shared, thank you for the testimony. It was really amazing to hear his story. I haven't heard it in that package before, but praise the Lord. And now we hear Heinrich's story, and maybe tonight I'll share a little bit of my own story as well. But I remember, and tonight I'm talking about, why are we here? Anyone been doing the Connect Group series? Who's been blessed by the Connect Group so far? Give us a whoop whoop. It seems like it's a night of whoop whoop, okay? God is excited, guys, and God is serious, okay? I want to just say what happened just now was really on God's heart. God is serious about us. That's why sometimes he speaks strongly to us, amen? And we need to receive it. God is a father. He sometimes challenges us. In fact, not sometimes. He always challenges us to grow, amen? And so I really want you to be serious, but you know, it's a joyful thing. And I'm gonna preach about joy in the next while as well. So come back. The Lord showed me something about joy. And we really need to have the joy of the Lord. Amen. And sometimes it's heavy because we're dealing with sin, and it's right, but it's always a joyful repentance. Amen. If it's condemnation, it's gonna lead to, or if it's guilt, it's gonna lead to condemnation. But if it's conviction, it's gonna lead to joy because we're free. Amen. But tonight I'm talking about our purpose. The last few weeks I've been talking about who am I, and for the next 2 weeks, tonight and next week, I'll talk about why am I here. We're talking about why are we living? Why? Those are the two great questions that everyone asks, okay? Who am I and why am I here? And so tonight I want to talk a little bit about why are you and I here. I remember when I was just a small group facilitator back in Stellenbosch, I was spirit-filled and came into Shofar, baptized, excited. I was really following the Lord with everything, just as Heinrich shared, that passion for Jesus just permeates. And so I was passionate about the Lord, and I became a leader. You know, in Shofar, you seem to be like challenged to go into the deep end. And so I wasn't really ready for it. I didn't feel ready, but now I find myself being a host or a facilitator or leader, whatever you want to call it, of a small group. And so at the time, I was praying for people. Whenever there was an altar call, then I would go to the front and pray for people who gave their lives to the Lord or who needed ministry. And so on this specific night, a guy came forward and the presence of God was so powerful, and so he responded, and I knew him from the engineering faculty. I knew he wasn't this goody-goody. He used to drink around and do the partying thing and do the typical Stellenbosch student lifestyle. And so I kind of thought, yo, this is amazing that this guy is now responding to an altar call. But he was so hungry for the Lord, and he was like shaking. And the Lord said to me, you got to pray for him. And I was like, no, Lord, there's lots of other people. Yeah, I'll know you pray for him. And I was like thinking, what am I going to say to this guy? Like, and so I prayed for him. I stood next to him, and it's just an incredible testimony of how his life changed from being in total darkness to being in this marvelous light of Jesus. And that night I prayed, and he got spirit-filled that night. I didn't even pray in tongues for him. I didn't like pray for the infilling of the Spirit. He just got so spirit-filled. He started to pray in tongues even when I was just praying. And it was just so amazing to see this guy change from a life of kind of not serving God to a life passionate about the Lord. And so I had the privilege that first week to walk with him. So I walked with him, and he said, when's the next church meeting? Like, he can't wait till Sunday. He wants to go to Bible school. So where's Bible school? So I told him, no, cool, you can come to Bible school on Tuesday. And then he said, where's small group? I want to go to small group. He was there on Wednesday, and he was there early. He was like waiting for any meeting because he was so hungry for the fullness of God. And so he had these Michael Schumacher posters all over his wall. He had CDs of like hectic heavy metal, AC/DC music and all of this stuff. And he threw it all away. He threw all his old life away, his old posters, his old stuff, anything that would hamper him from the presence of God or from knowing God. And it was just so amazing to see this guy like literally experiencing this freedom from the world. And he was walking this week, and it was like he started to sing this little song, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Anyone know that song? Like he would literally be like a kid. He was like this kid that had found like candy, you know, like he had found sweets that he had never tasted before. It was this incredible experience that this guy had with the Lord, and I had the privilege of seeing him come to small groups, seeing him, and he was cross with me because I used to be late for some of this stuff. I would be late for small group, or not for small group, but for Bible school. So my own relationship with God was so challenged because this guy was so hungry for the fullness of God. He just couldn't get enough of it. And I don't know how many of you have had an experience like that, but when I look back to his experience. And obviously afterwards, you know, you have the honeymoon phase with the Lord and you're so excited. And then life gets a bit tough and you've evangelized some people and some people reject you and all that. So you go through your doubts and stuff like any of us in a new relationship with anyone go through. You go through your challenges, and it's the same with the Lord. But one thing I realized that when I look back on his testimony, I realized that he found something that he'll never forget in his life. He discovered something of his reason and his purpose for living in that time. It was like nothing else mattered. And yes, he was still studying his master's and he had responsibility. And remember, he broke up with his girlfriend at the time as well. But it seemed to him like nothing else mattered in this life. Nothing mattered. Money didn't matter. What he's studying wasn't really that significant. His studies weren't that significant. His life wasn't significant. What was significant for him is he discovered a reason for living. And I don't know if you've been like that in your life before, if you've had an experience where you just realize nothing else matters. And sometimes we have it like tonight in the presence of God, you have these experiences where this is what I'm made for. Money doesn't matter, how much I earn one day, what I do, where I live, nothing in this world matters. And so tonight I want to talk about our purpose. I want to talk about this purpose that this guy, I believe, encountered when he encountered the living God. He encountered Jesus Christ. You see, Solomon contemplates the purpose of life throughout Ecclesiastes. Anyone read the book of Ecclesiastes? It's an interesting book. It's a book of contemplation, a book of philosophical thoughts of Solomon saying, but what is life all about? And he comes to one conclusion. 9 times he mentions that so many things are a grasping after the wind. 9 times, if you read and you search for grasping after the wind or for the wind, you'll find 9 times he comes to this conclusion that this thing is just grasping for the wind. This thing, what is life really about? And he's going through this contemplation, and I believe we need to do like Solomon and contemplate, what is all this busyness? What is life really about? Because I've been talking to some people lately, and it seems like students are so busy with stuff. It seems like families are so busy with kids and with life. It seems like business people are so busy. It's like we haven't got enough time in a day, isn't it? So is anyone feeling like that right now? Like life is just running away with you? Anyone? You need more than 24 hours in a day. Who would love more than 24 hours in a day, okay? Some honest people in the house. You know, there's 24 hours in the day, and then you've got the nights as well. Eh? Have you heard that saying? But unfortunately, it's not like that. Each of us have only got 168 hours working time in a week. That's if you work a 40-hour week. But if you consider life, and what are we doing? What is the purpose of life? Have you thought about it? You see, I don't believe it really matters what you do. Because so many of us are like finding up, you know, we've got to find our perfect purpose. You know, the perfect job for me, the perfect wife, the perfect kids, the perfect life, you know, the house, the car, just as long as I find my purpose. And I think we spend so much time trying to find our purpose that we forget about what life is really about. Because I don't really believe it matters exactly what you do. I think it is significant, but it's not ultimately significant. But I want to say tonight that purpose cannot start with us. Amen. Your purpose and my purpose cannot start with us. It's got to start with the one who created us. The one who designed us. It's like this table. This table is not probably being used for its actual design. Okay, it's probably supposed to be in a bar somewhere, or you know. But I think it makes a great pulpit, wouldn't you say? It's great for preaching. But this table does not know its purpose. It's got to ask the one who designed it. Okay, you can't go and say, table, what is your purpose? Because it doesn't even know what its purpose is. But you've got to ask the one who designed it and say, Mr. Designer, why did you design it with 4 feet like this? Why did you design it this high, this size? Why wasn't it bigger or smaller? Because it's got a very specific purpose. Isn't that so? And so for us as people, we've got to ask the one who designed us, what is our purpose? We've got to ask God, what are we living for? Why are we here? And so I want to ask you this question. Why are you here right now? Why are you on earth? What on earth are you here for? I want you to turn with me to Romans 8, verse 28. One of our favorite scriptures that we always quote as believers, because we somehow know that God is going to work all things for the good, and we believe it, that if we just quote the scripture and we put it up somewhere, this is like a great scripture to quote, you know, like put on your wall. And it's awesome, but we've got to understand the meaning. We've got to look deeply into it. And it says here, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to my purpose, our purpose, your purpose. Is that what it says there? It says, we know that all things work together for good to those who first of all love God, to those who are the called according to, anyone say? His purpose. Let's say it again. His purpose. Tell someone next to you, his purpose. So when we look at purpose, it's not about our purpose. It's not about what I want to do and the me and myself and the I. And I believe it's all about his purpose. And then he goes on to say exactly what his purpose is. And this is amazing. Verse 29 says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Predestined is a major word. It's a big word. But it simply means to determine beforehand. It's like God has got a plan, and he is wanting this plan to be fulfilled. So what is his plan? What is the plan of God? It says to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God's predetermined plan is not that we do a lot of stuff. It's that we be. Amen. Isn't that amazing? That word there is very specific. It's not to do a lot of stuff so that we can be conformed. It just says your purpose is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So I believe there's only one purpose, and I believe that purpose for each of us is to be conformed to Christ, to become Christ-like. And I believe if you have that, if you understand that, then you know what? Your job doesn't really matter what you do. And I'm not saying it doesn't matter at all, but I'm saying it doesn't become such a focus of our lives that we spend time and we waste time and we do all the stuff that Solomon says, you know what? This stuff is really not significant. Does it really matter? But what matters is that we might be conformed. But you see, for us to be conformed and for us to just be is very difficult. Hey? In the modern world, it seems like we've got to do more. And then, you know, as I said, our time gets filled up with so much stuff that as long as I'm doing more. I don't believe it's God's plan for us to do a whole lot of stuff. I believe we must first be and then we will do the right stuff. Amen. If you be and you become like Christ, you're going to do what's important. You're going to do what's significant. You're not going to waste any time in a day. But how many of us do a lot of stuff and it's really a chasing after the wind? So the first thing is that we need to be conformed. And then the second thing is we need to be conformed to the image of His Son. Why do we need to be conformed? Why this change? Any sinners, yeah, that have been saved? You know, when you get saved, it's not just a question of ticking the box and I'm a believer, so I can just carry on with my life. And how many people are living out there that have ticked the box and they've responded to an altar call, they've come to Christ, but you know what? It's all about me again. So I'm coming to Christ and I will do this and I will fulfill my purpose and your Christ is going to come and serve me in my purpose. And we go on with our lives. But Christ says, I want you to be conformed and to become changed from glory to glory. Why? Because God's nature needs to be conformed in us. And so all of us have got little personal issues. Anyone here that's perfect, just put up your hand. Then I'd love you to come pray for me if you've glorified already. We all have this desire to be glorified. And I want to say we're going to be glorified one day. But until then, we still have to be conformed, transformed from one level of glory to the next. Isn't that so? You know, this last while I read a Facebook post. Someone posted on Facebook, you know, he's just wondering if it's right for Christians to encourage other people to wear tattoos, you know. And so he stirred a little bit, you know, like he made the lion roar a bit. And so he got 188 comments just on that one little post that he posted there. And the comments were incredible. The Christians, especially the believers, were commenting on, and there's a lot of opinions going around about this must, you know, this is wrong, and this is what the Bible says, and this is what it doesn't say. This is what the Old Testament says, New Testament. It's like, I'm thinking if an unbeliever looks at this and he's thinking, must I follow these people? Is this like what, you know, Christianity is about? And all the guy did was just ask a question, you know, but it like triggered a lot of, you know, stuff in people's lives. At the end of it, I just look and one guy just commented and he just said, you know what, because he actually had a testimony of having a tattoo and he just said, you know, he'll never, because he came out of the world, he was really in the world and got saved. He said, you know, I just want to say no one should get a tattoo. It's terrible. It's painful. But all you can see out of this is that people need to become like Christ. We're just not Christ-like yet. See, we've all got our own issues. We've all got our own opinions. We've all got our own plan. Instead of saying, but Jesus, what do you say about stuff? And we can go on. We can just mention a lot of debates, you know, a lot of theological debates, and you'll see what comes out. It's like, you know, you take an orange or a lemon and you squeeze it. What's going to come out? Whatever's in there, the juice is going to come out. You take a believer and you're going to squeeze it and you'll see the fruit that comes out. And some of it's not always great. Amen. It's like this Angus Buchan thing. I don't know. Does anyone not know? Has anyone not heard about it before tonight? Like the It's Time prayer meeting? Okay. I won't expose you now. But you know, it's amazing. Like the challenges that Uncle Angus has with people. And a lot of it is believers. Like, no, but why do we need to come together? And, oh, there's like a mighty men thing. And then criticizing him for the bad fruit that comes from mighty men stuff. Because the men get all excited. And then they go back and they live their lives again. And nothing changes. And so people are criticizing him and criticizing this event and saying, and I'm thinking like, what does the Lord say about this event? Has anyone like asked the Lord or is it just your opinion? And so I want to challenge us and say, you know, it could maybe not be from the Lord. It could be from the flesh. But what if it is from the Lord? What happens if 2 million people pitch up in Bloemfontein and some people in Bloemfontein weren't there? You know, that would be a bit embarrassing to tell your grandchildren. You know what? You missed a place in history. You missed a place in where this the nation was changed, a history-making event. And I know, you know, I believe that the nation can change in an instant, but I don't believe the event is going to change the nation necessarily. But I believe that God has got an appointment with South Africa. But my point here is it's just so amazing. And I really want to encourage you to be there. I want to encourage you to volunteer. If you want to help out, we need helpers. If you want to host people. If you want to just, you know, transport people to and fro, then do that. That'll be a blessing. Whatever you feel the Lord leading you to. But be there. Be part of it. Amen. Bloemfontein, we need to be part of it. There's people coming from all over the nation to be here. But my point this evening is that everyone seems to have an opinion these days. We're living in the last days where everyone, it's like, oh, I'm a law unto myself. I will say what I want to say and forget about your stuff. And sometimes we also say, forget about what God says, because as long as I say it, then I'm happy with what I say. Isn't that how we live in the modern day? It's all about I, me, and myself. It's all about my opinion. But what about Christ's opinion? What does he have to say? So, you're going to see the fruit of believers in these last days. We're going to see the real fruit in people's lives. And in fact, you're going to see the fruit of the nation. If you look at the nation of South Africa, what is the fruit that's coming out of it? And we say that we're a believing nation. We say that we're Christians. We call ourselves Christians. But what is the fruit of our so-called Christianity? The good news is tonight that God has got patience with us. God wants us to be conformed to his image. Amen. In fact, he wants us to be conformed because conforming talks about character. It talks about a Christ-likeness in our character, not in our outward appearance. It's a conforming to the character, and it will come out when you're squeezed. When life gets tough, when things get a bit rough, then and we get pressed on our little buttons, you know, the buttons that trigger us, that's going to show what is really inside. I just want to read a quote here about Rick Warren in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. He says here that, and it's talking here just about our, you know, our purpose. And it says, God is far more interested, he writes, God is far more interested in what you are than in what you do. He's far more interested in your being than in your doing. A lot of people ask, well, what is God's will for my life, in my job or my career? And Rick says, you know what? You could probably have a dozen different careers and God would say it's fine. Because God is more interested in your character, and I'll tell you why. You're not taking your career into eternity, but you're taking your character into eternity. And I believe it's important to find the right career. I believe some of us have been called to be in the ministry. Some have been called to be doctors or to be engineers or to be accountants or to be farmers or sports people, whatever. I believe you need to fulfill your gifting on your life and the calling on your life. But I believe ultimately it's more important that you, in your character, become Christ-like. Isn't that so? Because you can be the greatest successful business person or most rich and a great Christian and a great believer, but if your life doesn't conform to the image of Christ, have you truly been successful? Have you truly fulfilled God's purpose for your life? So what I want to say tonight is whatever you do, just become conformed to the image of Christ. I was going to bring a mirror. I forgot it again. I said this morning I was going to bring a mirror. But if you look into a mirror, what do you see there? Some of you see, hey, he's just a handsome guy, you know, yeah, he's a good looking guy, you know, or sure, pretty girl, you know, sure, it's amazing. I think I'm quite a hottie, you know, or it's just, I'm not so cool, you know, my face is funny, I wish I had different features. But you see, when you look into a mirror, it's reflecting what is in there, and Christ wants us to reflect and look into his mirror and see what he says about us. He doesn't want us to reflect the stuff that we see in the natural. He wants us to reflect his image, the image of a glorious God, an amazing God. And so we need to be conformed very specifically to something. It's called the image of the Son of God. So what image are you seeing and what image is portraying? And sometimes you need to look into the mirror seriously and look a little bit deeper into the spirit and say, what do you see there? What is reflecting out of my life? Especially when the times are tough. What is reflecting? Is Christ coming out or is, it's not such good stuff coming out. You know, I'm under pressure. And so then I use pressure as an excuse. And we always do that. As people, I had a bad day. You know, so we can swear a bit and really get upset. And we use it as an excuse. You know, I had a tough day. instead of saying, God, I'm really sorry, I reacted a little bit badly there. I should have been a bit more gentle, patient, or kind. Isn't that so? But we sometimes so make an excuse just because we Christians, we've ticked that box, we're spirit-filled, we baptized, you know, like, and then do we bear the fruit of it? The fruit of repentance, the fruit of a life conformed to the image of Christ. You see, His purpose for our lives is that we do three things, three R's. You can write them down if you want to. And that's first of all to reflect Him. So the mirror thing. And you know that you can only reflect what you've received. You can't reflect anything else. You look in the mirror and you're going to reflect. I'm going to reflect Alistair. I'm not going to reflect Joanna or Francois. Or I'm going to reflect Alistair because that's who God has created me to be. So don't reflect someone else, but reflect Christ. You can only reflect what you receive from Christ. You can't reflect Him if you don't know Him. That's why you can't say an unbeliever kind of reflects Christ, because they could be a good person, but they don't really reflect Christ because they haven't received the fullness of Christ. Yes, we're all created in the image of God, but we need to reflect the image of His Son, of Jesus Christ. So first of all, you need to reflect Him, but you can only reflect what you receive. Secondly, you need to represent Him. In other words, you are an ambassador. Tell someone next to you and say, you're an ambassador. Do you know an ambassador does not stay in the country that he is born in and that he's representing? An ambassador goes to another nation and represents that country in another nation. So guess what? We are not of this world. We are in this world. We're not of this world. So guess what? We are representatives. We are ambassadors for Christ. So we'd love to be in heaven. Eh? Anyone here would like to be in heaven rather than on earth now? Okay. It would be awesome, okay, because the earth is not always great. This earth life is a struggle because we've tasted eternity, but we're still in this world, and oh, can't we just have freedom, complete freedom? But guess what? Paul says, I'm still here because I'm an ambassador for Christ. I'm a representative. So the second R is to represent Him. So you need to reflect Him. You need to become like Him and look like Him, and then you need to go into the world and represent Him and look like Him to other people. And tell the people about this amazing God that you're representing, that you're an ambassador of. And then lastly, you need to reproduce Him in other people. We'll talk about that next week. So I think you guys all agree tonight. I think I've made my point clear that we need to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. That is our purpose. Isn't it simple? Sometimes it can get so complicated, but I believe it's so simple. I believe if we become like Christ, a lot of other stuff will fall into place. Our lives will really make a difference. But I'm sure you're asking me, but Alistair, how do I do this? Anyone want to know how to conform to the image of Christ? Anyone want a 10-point plan? Sorry, you're not going to get a 10-point plan. But I do have a few things that I just want to share tonight in terms of how do we conform to the image of Jesus Christ. Jesus said to His disciples, the very first thing that He said to His disciples when He saw them was what? It's found in Mark, it's found in Matthew. The same words, follow Me and I will make you a fishers of men. So in order to do three R's, in order to reflect Him, in order to represent Him, in order to reproduce Him in others, we need to do three F's. Okay, so you got the three R's, you need to just do three F's. Follow, be formed, and fish. Amen. Follow, be formed, and fish. I hope I don't sound like a lecturer tonight. Students are like, what's happening here? But I love this. It's so simple. It's so exciting. So three F's in order to do three R's. Need to follow. Got another F for you. You can put it in brackets next to the follow. It's one thing that God wants, and that only one thing pleases God. Anyone know what Hebrews 11:6 says? There's only one thing that pleases God. You know, we can do everything else. We can try to do all the right stuff. We can try to do religion. We can try to be good. We can try to be nice people. I love what Angus said on Friday. I was at a meeting where Uncle Angus just challenged us leaders and various leaders in the city to mobilize people to come to this event. And so he just says, you know, God isn't interested in good people. He wants believers. Good people don't go to heaven. Believers do. Amen. You need to have faith. In order to follow Jesus Christ, faith is the only thing that is going to please God. And I just saw the faith of this man on Friday. It's just incredible. Anyone who's listened to his talks or been at his Mighty Men's or his talk or Sunday, the women are always welcome on the Sunday at a Mighty Men's thing as well. But when you see Uncle Angus, you just see the simple farmer who's as rough as they get at times, like Chris too. There's hope for the farmers. Farmers are sometimes like rough around the edges, but if God can save Uncle Angus, if God can use Uncle Angus, he's using a couple of farmers in this nation. In fact, it wasn't Uncle Angus that called this "it's time" thing. It was actually a farmer who was weeping for people who are getting murdered and getting raped and just the chaos in this country. And he made a video clip and he didn't even know Uncle Angus. He just said, Angus, if you're listening, do something. If the Lord says to you, do something, but we can't go on like this. So God is using farmers, but God is using someone with faith. In fact, he's looking throughout the earth and he's looking for one thing. He's looking for faith. Amen. So I want to ask you tonight, I want to challenge you, what do you have faith for? I've asked the prayer warriors who pray every Thursday from 5 to 6 at the office. I've asked them the last couple of weeks. I said, guys, what do you have faith for? It doesn't help us. You know, we can wait on God and it's good to wait on God. But what do you believe for? What is in your heart? What do you have faith for? Because that is going to please God. We can pray all the right prayers and say the right things. But unless we have faith for something, we're just playing games with God. And God wants to put that faith in our hearts. Amen. So do you have faith for your family to be saved? Do you have faith for other people to be saved? Do you have faith for this campus? Do you have faith for this nation, you know? Or do you just have faith for your own life? And I can tell you, if you've got faith for your own life, great. Just start there, because you're going to need faith for your own life, okay? Because life isn't easy. But God doesn't want us to only have faith for our own lives. He wants us to have faith for other people. And then he raises us up and he, you know, for me, I need to have faith for a church. I can't just have faith for my family. I've got faith for my family and I pray for my kids to be healed. And when they're sick, I pray for my wife. But you know what? I can't just have faith for my family. I need faith for a church. And I don't always have it. Say, God, help me. I need to have faith for your church. But then he uses a guy like Uncle Angus and he says, I've given you faith for a nation. That a nation can come together. A nation can be saved. Amen. But what do you have faith for tonight? Do you have faith for another nation? Do you have faith to go to the nations? Do you have faith that when you leave Bloemfontein, you're going to go to a city and you've got faith for that city? You've got faith for that little town, that dorpie or that farm that you're going to? Do you have faith for those workers that everyone can get saved? Or do you just have faith that God can do amazing things? You might not be an evangelist, but just have faith that the finances will come and you can maybe be a giver, like Johan said. You can take responsibility financially and say, I'm going to fund this thing. I've got faith to make money. I don't know what you're called for, but God wants us to walk by faith, guys. Amen. So what do you have faith for? Because to follow Christ, it starts with faith and it ends with faith. And then number two, this is exciting. The second one is to be formed. Jesus said, follow me and I will form you. I'll make you a certain person. I'll make you a disciple. Make you a fisher of men. In order for you to be formed, you need to be in a family or a fellowship. So the first F is faith. The second F, in terms of being formed, being discipled, is a family or a fellowship. You need to be part of church. Can I have a big amen, church people? You know, I got saved. I was 15 years old and I spent 9 years in the desert. You know why? Because I got saved at a school crusade where an evangelist, Peter Pollock and Trevor Goddard, two great cricketers of the past, came to preach the gospel. And you know, I responded to the gospel, but I didn't respond to an altar call. I prayed the prayer in my own bed, no one with me. And I knew I was going to heaven. I was sure that I was going to heaven. And you know what? I didn't have a clue as to what I'd just done. I've said yes to Jesus and I know I'm going to heaven if I die now, but I don't know how to live this life. I don't know how to live this Christian life. And so for 9 years, I just went through the motions. It was just me and Jesus, and I prayed, and I had as much faith as I could until I reached the point where I realized there's something more. And I was, you know, you're in church, but you know, so many people are in church, but they're not part of church. They can say they're in this church, or they're so passionate about the name of this church, but they're not part of it. They're not growing in Christ. I think it's sad. I think in South Africa, it would be very interesting to take a stats of how many people are in church, but yet there's no fruit, there's no growth, there's no discipleship. They're not being formed into the image of Christ. They just say a few nice things and we read off a thing, but are we formed into Christ's likeness? And you know, I was so thankful for Shofar, for this one guy that came. For 6 months, he invited me to this weird church in Stellenbosch. Like, it was radical, and I didn't want to go there until I realized God is knocking at my door. And for 6 months, he said, you must come to our connect group. Come to our small group. Come, come. God is busy. And I could see this guy's radical for Jesus. And I wanted it, but yet, you know, you resist it so much. Eventually, I came, and I saw the love of Christ. Like Heinrich testified, I saw this church. They're passionate for Jesus. They really love people. They just want to grow and become like Jesus. And so thank the Lord, I got spirit-filled, I got baptized, and I'll never forget when I was baptized in Pastor Fred May's swimming pool by Sias, who's coming on the 23rd. I want to say, please invite friends. We're going to pack up this whole hall because there are going to be so many people coming on the 23rd because they're all sleeping over, and all our family from Joburg, Pretoria, Potch, all the Shofar people are going to be here, Stellenbosch. We're going to have like a massive service, so don't miss the 23rd. But Pastor Sias baptized me and my cell leader at the time. And I came out of that water and I knew I'm a changed man. I haven't just made a commitment. I am part of a family. There was people around me. There was like a whole lot of people getting baptized. It was just incredible to be born into a spiritual family. Amen. And I want to say tonight, if you're not born into a spiritual family, I want to say, if this is the family that you need to be in, plant yourself, come, get involved, go full out for Jesus. Amen. Get passionate for Jesus until the water spills, until it spills out into someone else's life. Amen. I believe we need to be passionate for Jesus. We can't just go half-heartedly, guys. So I want to say, if you need to be a member, I want to say, come and do the membership thing. Come to the Encounter 1 and 2. Even if you know about salvation and all the stuff we teach, just come to see what it's about and then become a member. Sign on the dotted line and say, you know what? I'm committing. I'm going full out until I get moved on. And God moves us on. You don't have to be in a spiritual family forever as long as you're in a church. Okay? I mean, you don't have to be in a church forever as long as you're in a spiritual family for your whole life. Don't be in the desert. Don't be in the wilderness. Become formed. Become a disciple. Become a follower of Jesus Christ. Serve. Give. Go all out. Because God wants to form you as a disciple maker. And the last thing tonight, and that I'll get to next week, is that the third F is, I think some of us need to take out our fishing rods again. Tell someone next to you, it's time to get that fishing rod out. You see, I want to say that no one is more important than anyone else in this world. And the fact that we have been saved, the fact that you have been saved, and you're following Christ, and you have this great life, what does that make you more special than someone else who doesn't have that passionate relationship with Jesus? I want to say that the lost are on God's heart, people. Can I have an amen? The lost and the broken and the destitute and the outcast and the people that are not like us are on God's heart, but specifically those who don't know Jesus. And maybe you're here tonight. Maybe you, like Richard said, you really need to come back to Jesus because you know about him and you know... Life is just ticking over, but do you have an intense, passionate love for Jesus Christ? Do you really? But I believe if you do, then you're going to be fishing for people, fishing for Jesus, fishing for Jesus. How does the kids song go? You know, kids just pick it up. I love my kids when they hear these songs. It's like, then I know, sure, as long as you do that for the rest of your life, then you're going to fulfill God's purpose. I want to just quote what Rick Warren spoke about his dad. His dad was on his deathbed, and just read you. My dad was a man on a mission. He was a pastor for 50 years, but he died a few years ago of cancer. In the last week of his life, he was delusional. My wife and I were sitting beside him. He was very frail, and he'd lost all his weight from cancer. One night, he became agitated, and he tried to get out of bed. My wife said, "Jimmy, you can't get out of bed. Lie back down. You're very weak. You're dying." But he tried to get back out of bed, and my wife said again, "No, please lie back down in the bed." So she forced him back down in the bed, and she said, "What is it that you need?" And he said, "Got to save one more for Jesus. Got to save one more for Jesus. Got to save one more for Jesus." And he said this over and over, maybe 100 times, "Got to save one more for Jesus." And as I sat there by his bedside, I put my head down and I prayed, tears coming down my cheeks. My dad reached up and put his hand on my head like a blessing, and he said, "Save one more for Jesus. Save one more for Jesus." And I intend that to be the theme of the rest of my life, and I invite you to make it the theme of your life. Become a fisher of men. That is Christ-likeness. Amen. And all of us haven't been called to be evangelists, but I believe all of us have been called to do the work of an evangelist, to get people closer to Jesus Christ, at least. So I want to ask you this question. Do you know the spiritual health of the people around you? Do you know at least who's lost and who's not? Amen. Because that's where it starts. We're not going to preach if we other just don't know, we don't care. And if you don't care, well, you're also not going to do it. But if you don't know, it's very difficult. Because then we assume all people are, especially in Bloemfontein or in South Africa, we assume that almal is ons Christene. You know, but it's not. Yeah, people might be Christians, but are people believers? Do people follow Jesus? Do people know what I'm telling you tonight? That they need to be conformed to the image of Christ. So homework for this week is at least find out, say, "God, in my class, in my workplace, wherever I am, in my family, Lord, who doesn't know Christ? Who can I at least start to pray for?" Amen. Who can I start to build relationship with? You know, my wife is in Mauritius at the moment. She's got massive challenges. Okay, you can really pray for her. Like Mauritius, it's just, life is tough. Okay. So she leaves me with 3 kids and, you know, goes on this island and she sends me photos. I'm like, stop all these photos. But she says she's missing me, so it's a good thing. But you know, she's spending time there with people, and she says that she just wants to. And we prayed in Connect Group on Wednesday. We said, we prayed for her, and we said, "God, we want you to give Hester opportunities to just witness, because Flight Center, the company she works for, is a very worldly company. There's not many believers there." And so she says to me this whole time, she just wants to have some quiet time on her own and just read a book and sit by the sea. And then every time someone just comes to start to talk to her. And she says they open their hearts. And she's like not the most bold evangelist that will in your face tell the gospel, but she's incredible with relationships. And people open up to her. And I just said, "Awesome, my love. You just build those relationships that when the time comes, the gospel, the seed will be sown. And people will say, 'I can't anymore. I need Jesus.'" But they'll run to her. They'll run to her when things get tough. But at least surround yourself with people where they can be drawn to you and they can share their hearts with you and share life and share the tough times and share all the questions they have. And then you say, "You know what? I've got the answer. It's not a solution. It's not a thing. It's not a formula. It's a person. His name is Jesus. The greatest name that there's ever been." Amen. But to be a fisher for men, guys, that is how we conform to the image of Christ. First of all, you need to have faith to follow. You need to be in a fellowship or a family in order to be formed and to be made a disciple. And then you need, once you are a disciple, you can start to fish for people and make other disciples. It's quite simple. In his book, Rick Warren says that there's 5 purposes. I just want to read them. He talks about the first purpose that we've been created for is to be, we are planned for God's pleasure, he says. Secondly, we formed for God's family. Thirdly, we created to be like Christ. Fourthly, we shaped for service. And fifthly, we've been made for a mission. And I agree with that, but I believe all of those things are an outflow if we are simply conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I believe we're going to give God pleasure in worship. We're going to live our lives glorifying Him. We're going to be part of a family and run with stuff and, you know, become like Christ and serve the purposes of God and go on a mission and do stuff for God. We're going to do all of that stuff if we become like Him. Amen. So that's our purpose. And my prayer for all of us tonight as the band comes up is simply Galatians 4 verse 19. Paul writes and he says, I labor for you guys in birth. It's like I'm giving birth that Christ may be formed in you. And you know, the Galatians were very distracted. They wanted to go back to the Jewish roots and they had all sorts of funny ideas. And Paul just says at the end of Galatians, he says, guys, I want you to be like Christ. Because then all this other fuzzy stuff, you know, religion, when we aren't formed like Christ, you know what's going to happen? We go back to formulas. Instead of being formed, we go for the formula route. And that's what religion is. Religion is simply formulas. Following what's easy, following what's known, following what's comfortable and what I did last time and I did last year, I'm just going to do that again. Hello, anyone with me? But when we become like Christ, when we formed, have Christ formed in us, then it's not religion anymore. Then it's a walk of faith. It's a journey of faith. And you see, Jesus said we're going to do greater works than he did on this earth. Isn't that so? Anyone here want to do greater works than Jesus did? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because, you know, sometimes we want to, but why don't we do greater works than Jesus did? I want to ask you that. I want to ask you to think about that. Do you really want to do, the Bible says, greater works. Jesus wanted to do greater, or Jesus said, we'll do greater works than he did. But I believe we don't do greater works than he did because we're not like him. Amen. We are a lot of good people, and I'm not knocking us. I'm talking to myself here. We're sometimes just such a lot of good people, and we're just surviving through life. But God has got great stuff for us, guys. I want to encourage you. God has got so many great plans for us. He wants us to do amazing stuff, not for us, not for our glory, for his glory. The Bible says that David served God's purposes in his generation. I don't know about you, but I want that to be my epitaph on my tombstone. Alistair served God's purposes in his generation. Not his purposes or what he thought was right or just to be a pastor. Or because I'm saying it's not about being a pastor. You know, I could also miss it. Lots of pastors maybe shouldn't be pastors. Lots of people doing ministry maybe shouldn't be in the ministry because sometimes we're serving our own purposes. But has God called you to do what you're doing? But I know one thing, God has called us all to be. He hasn't called us to do, he's called us to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you tonight, Lord, that you are a God who knows each and every one of us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we tonight can realize, Lord, that our purpose is not about us, Lord. Our purpose does not start with us, Lord. Our purpose does not start with me, myself, and I, Lord. Because everything that we are, every gift and every talent and the character that's in us already, the personality that's in us, it's not ours, Lord, it's yours. You've designed it. You've created it. Lord, I want to thank you for your people tonight. I want to thank you for each and every one of your people sitting here hearing this message tonight. I want to thank you that each one, Lord, has been created to be conformed into the image of Christ, to be predestined, Lord. Each one of us have been predestined, Lord, to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for that tonight. We thank you that you have called us, Lord, and predestined us, Lord, to be like you. Lord, where we're not like you tonight, I pray, God, that you would show us, Lord. Show us where we need to be conformed more and more. Show us, Lord, where we don't have faith always, God. Show us where we're living our lives just surviving, God. Where we don't need faith for anything, God, because everything's so calculated. Our allowances get paid in every month, and we've got enough money, and everything's so comfortable, God. But thank you that you're calling us to a place of faith, God. Great faith. Thank you that you're calling us to a place of being formed into your image, God. You're calling us to be at a place where we can be fishers of men, Lord. That we can reflect you, Lord. That we can represent you, Lord. And that we can reproduce. multiply that which you've given us. So I want you to allow the Holy Spirit tonight just to show you where you still need to be conformed into the image of Christ. Where you're living your life maybe and it just seems like life is just happening and you're so busy doing a lot of stuff, but maybe you've neglected your ultimate purpose in life, and that's to be like Him. It's amazing when I look at married couples and I look how, you know, they become like each other. Say little things and they just see my wife. Sometimes she does and says things that she never did at the start of our marriage. It's just not her, but she's doing stuff like, got these little mannerisms and just ways of saying things like she's picked it up from me and same with me. And sometimes married couples even start to look like each other. It's like, look at Peter and Talita, you know, like I said this morning, Peter's hair looks like, you know, he's got long hair like Talita. I'm only joking, but you know, married couples start to look like each other. Start to rub off on each other, and I believe it's the same with us and Jesus. The more we spend time with Him, the more we just love Him and just want Him as our first love and want Him as our everything, the more we become like Him. He rubs off on us. Luckily, we won't rub off on Him because He can't change. He can't pick up our bad habits. But we can pick up His good habits. We can pick up His character. We can pick up His likeness. So I want you to contemplate that this evening. And I want you to stand. Let's all stand this evening. And if you need prayer this evening in any area, but you have a deep desire in your heart, I want the person next to you to pray for you. But I want you to be really honest. I want you to stand and then I want you to raise your hand and say, Alistair, I want to be conformed into the image of Christ. Can someone just pray for me? Because I have a desire to be like Christ. I've got a great desire to be like Jesus. If that's you this evening, it can be any area of your life, but just put up your hand and say, that's me. What a desire. Because I'd love to pray for people here. And I'm just going to ask someone next to you to put their hands on you. But if you want to become like Christ this evening, then just raise your hand. And we'd love to pray. And we trust God that you would become like Christ. Is there anyone that wants to become like Christ? Just raise your hand. His hands going up. Just be honest. If you really have this desire, then just put up your hand. If you don't have a desire, it's also fine. You don't have to want to become like Christ. But if you really want to become like Christ, just put up your hand. And I would love to pray for you. And I just want to ask people around them just to lay hands on them. If you want to put up your hand, just put up your hand. But otherwise, just lay hands on someone who's putting up their hand. And I want to pray that Christ be formed in you. I want to be like Paul and just pray over you this evening. Lord, I want to thank you for every hand going up this evening. I want to thank you, Lord, for Christ to be formed in people tonight. I want to thank you, Lord. There's some people looking around. I want you to pray. If you're not doing business with God, just pray for someone who is doing business with God. Just respect the moment. But Lord, I pray for habits to stop in the name of Jesus, Lord. Pray for bad habits, Lord, to become good habits for Christ, Lord. God, I pray for sin. Pray that sin would just bow to Jesus Christ in every life this evening. I want you to be really honest this evening. You might not have raised your hand, but if you're struggling with something in your life, you're struggling with a pattern or a sinful thing, then I want you to be honest and raise your hand. We're not going to know what it's about. Richard spoke about sexual sin, so if there's any guys that really want to be honest, it doesn't have to be sexual sin, but I want to trust that Christ come and rule over that thing tonight in Jesus' name. So if you've got sin in your life, just be honest and just say, God, that's me. Okay, all of us actually need to put up our hands, okay? But I don't want it to be a mass thing. If you really feel the conviction of the Spirit, just do it now. I'm going to trust God to break that thing over your life. So if you're struggling with patterns specifically or sinful thoughts or stuff, just raise your hand. And we're trusting God to break that over your life. Is there anyone like that tonight? Are there any people in the house that want Jesus tonight? Anyone hungry for Jesus? Just put up your hand passionately. I know it's a shameful thing sometimes. You're like confronted with your sin, but just do it. If God is calling you to do it, so just raise it nice and high and then just show Jesus. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for every person, every honest person, Lord. Thank you for lives to be changed right now, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you come and rule and reign over sinful patterns in the name of Jesus. You come and rule over unbelief. I just sense there's some people here, you're struggling with unbelief, you're struggling with doubt. And I want to say in the name of Jesus, let that doubt turn into faith right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that those doubts and those thoughts, God, which are such strongholds, Lord. I just sense somebody tonight, you're always questioning stuff. You're always questioning, like when there's faith, it's like you immediately question it. And I want to say in my own life, I also have these times in my life. It's like when Uncle Angus says a million people, you know what I'm doing? I'm like, how's this going to happen? How's this going to work? You know, how are the logistics? And then I'm always questioning God. And God is saying, it's not time to question now. If I say, I will do. So if you're struggling with doubt tonight, I want to say in the name of Jesus, may that doubt turn into faith. Can I have an amen? Anyone struggling with doubt here? Just say amen. That doubt is going to turn into faith right now. Can I have an amen? Amen. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you're here tonight to inspire us, Lord. That you're here to change our lives, God. Thank you for a hunger for you, Lord. That's like never known before in our own lives, God. A desire. Not to do stuff for you, but to be like you, Jesus. I pray for that tonight, Lord. I pray for that tonight. I pray for faith, God. Lord, I pray for people. And I want to say that again, guys. I want to be serious. If you're not in an accountability relationship, I want you to seriously consider, where are you growing? Amen. Where are you growing? Who are you accountable to? Who do you share your weaknesses that you can be, have Christ formed in you? Because a church service is not going to do it once a week. A quiet time every now and again is not going to make you formed into Christ, okay? I want to be honest. I'm serious. I've been that road. Only way I'm going to really grow like Christ is where I have the full counsel of God. The fivefold ministry sometimes needs to be around us. We need to surround ourselves with apostles, with prophets, with evangelists, with pastors, with teachers, the fivefold ministry. But sometimes we need different personalities around us, amen, that can challenge us. So I want to say our connect groups are exactly that, amen. There's nothing else. We don't do a lot of courses. We want relationship in this church. Amen. So we do it through relationship. We do discipleship through relationship. Can I have an amen? Is anyone excited about that? And we'll do courses every now and again. We'll do stuff. But if it's not through relationship, guys, we're playing games with God. God wants to form relationships in us. It's part of being formed like Christ. So if you guys got a song ready, Gerard. So we're gonna sing to the Lord. Who's excited to sing to Jesus tonight? One last song. Okay. Let's give a shout to Jesus tonight. Because we love him. Amen. Let's give a shout to Jesus tonight. Let's get excited for Jesus because he's good. Amen.